Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Today's chaplain is Reverend Joanne Lee from the House of Hope Presbyterian Church in St. Paul. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. God of all seasons, in your pattern of things, there is a time to keep and a time to lose, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to build up and a time to pull down. In this season of our lives, help us to consider what we must lay down and what we must take up, what we must end and what we must begin. Help us to see in this spring not simply a natural cycle that repeats itself each year, but instead to see deeper down into the dear promise of new life itself, budding all around us. Give us ears to hear one another and to listen for the voices of those who have been silenced among us. Help us not to fear the diversity within this room, but to celebrate how you have created each of us unique to live into a more full, rich, and flourishing world. Help us to find hope in times of hopelessness, peace in a time of war, joy in a world of sorrow, and cause us to sing with the birds of your creation a song that drowns out the cacophonous era of shouting, confusion, discord, and chaos. Grant these, our elected officials, courage and wisdom and a spirit of discernment as they meet yet again this day, and help us to boldly dream of a future where justice and peace reign, and then to work towards that future. We pray this to the one who knows and loves us unconditionally and whose grace knows no bounds. Amen.
The Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Bach, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Cohen, Dames, Daly, DeKreif, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Fishbach, Gazelka, Gerlach, Gimsey, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Harrington, Hayden, Higgins, Hoffman, Howe, Ingerbritzen, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coonan, Cruz, Langseth, Latz, Lilly, Limmer, Laurie, Magnus, Marty, McGuire, Metzen, Michelle, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Olson, Ortman, Pappas, Perry, Peterson, Reinert, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Saxog, Senjum, Sharon, Siebenskoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vandeveer, Wieger, Wolf.
Quorum is present. Moving to the third order of business, messages from the House. Secretary Ludeman will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate files herewith returned. Senate file 2379 relating to courts. Senate file 1678 relating to public defenders. Albany Mathewich, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. The Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file 1717, a bill for an act related to labor and industry. Senate file 1717 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewich, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate do not concur to the amendments by the House on Senate File 1717, and that a conference committee of three members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file number 2324, a bill for an act relating to occupational licensing. Senate file 2324 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewich, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Peterson.
Madam President, I move that the Senate does not concur in the amendments by the House on Senate File 2324 and that the Conference Committee of three members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like Conference Committee appointed on the part of the House.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which the amendments, the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file number 1675, a bill for an act relating to human services. Senate file 1675 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Matthewich, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate do concur with the House on Senate File 1675 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
And members, those changes are available in the House Journal, April 2nd, page 7820, the House Journal, April 18th, page 8459, and the third reading of the Senate Journal is available March 22nd, page 4761. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam President. This originally started out as five Senate files. The House moved it as one file. So we sent the Senate language over. They made some modifications and have sent it back to us. We were unanimous on four of the files. One file was not heard but was passed on a voice vote out of Health and Human Services and was given second reading here on March 8th. Let me briefly, if I may, describe the differences from the Senate language that we passed. In the Safe Place for Newborns provision in Senate File 1675, they changed the name to Give Life a Chance. It clarifies and updates substantive language preference regarding sheriff's offices where that had been dropped, and 911 will be the primary means of communication in the Safe Place for Newborns provision. Adoption assistance, the House removed a controversial section related to determination of paternity. There was a House, continuing in 1675, there was a modification to child support provision. We had adopted this action in a conference committee, and so we took their language, even though it wasn't our final language. In Senate File 1804, which passed again unanimously off our floor, there was a small modification to continuing care regarding vulnerable adults being referred to the county as the lead agency if it involves DHS licensing, and also increased notification to DHS. Moving on to Senate File 2357, Article 2, Licensing. This is a Senator Hayden, his representative, Representative Clark, brought forward. This was a provision not heard in the Senate, an amendment from the House, wherein a church organization had been conducting summer programs for 40 years. The department discovered they were not licensed, and so we are giving them an exemption from licensing for 2 years so that the department can develop appropriate licensing standards for school-age children in limited summer programs. We deleted a controversial provision about contested case hearings relating to the violation violations contained in the scope of contested case hearings, and a permanent bar was deleted to set aside disqualification, creating a narrow exception. Again, we deleted that. There was slightly different language related to crib safety provisions. We expanded crib safety from just child care to all DHS-licensed child care certified agencies, including those who care for the disabled and mentally ill. Moving on to Senate File 2234, Statewide Provider Standards. We took agreed-upon language. It's mostly Senate language. We took some agreed-upon language from the House that had been agreed to by the department and an advocacy group. I've spoken with the author, and he has no problem accepting that provision. And we have also acceded to the House a creation of an implementation process for a license structure for currently unlicensed service providers and allowing variance applications in emergency situations. That is the large summary of the changes, Mr. President, and I would ask for support on this legislation.
Thank you, Senator Benson. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Next we have Secretary will do the third reading. Yep. Secretary will give the bill a third reading.
Senate file number 1675, a bill for an act relating to human services, third reading.
Senator Hayden.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say that this is a good bill. It is long overdue that we kind of get a policy bill through the process. I do want to thank Senator Benson for kind of a relatively last-minute entry to allow the daycare centers in my district to have more time to go through the process to figure out what the proper licensing standards were, and I know that it kind of came in kind of a rush and a hurry, so I do thank you for allowing that to be in the bill, and so I just wanted to make sure I publicly acknowledge that. Thank you so much.
Secretary, I'll take the roll.
All senators having voted, the bill is agreed to, and we'll close the roll. Having 63 ayes and 0 nays, the bill's title is agreed to and passed. Next we have the secretary will read messages Senate 248.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file 248, a bill for relating to health. Senate file 248 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 248 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. And those changes are available in the House Journal, April 17th, page 8403. And the third reading for the Senate Journal is on March 28th on page number 5238. Mr. President, I can explain those changes in addition to. There are very few changes to the bill. If you recall, this is the radiation therapy
Mr.
instruction.
President, can we have order in the Senate?
Yep.
Thank you, Senator Senja. Members, could we just ask that you keep your other conversations to a lower level so we can hear the author of the bill? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. As you recall, this is the radiation therapy bill that we did. We were able to find some compromise on, and we discussed that last when it was here the first time. Basically, the changes that were made by the House, they added the appropriation. It's on the last page. They did add the appropriation for the study, and that is all right if we carry it in this bill, because I've talked to Senator Hannon, and it is carried in his bill in addition to that. So, but the House wanted it in this bill too, and they also made And I worry about using the word stylistic because I might get called called on it by Senator Tomasoni, but they changed it a little bit because there was some concern by council that it wasn't clear enough. So it has the same effect. They just moved the names of the counties that are affected up into a different paragraph, but it's all the same. Just they felt that would be clearer on who was affected by the conditions that are needed after the moratorium. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of Senate, all in favor to concur on Senate File 248, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Secretary will give the bill a third reading.
Senate File Number 248, a bill for an act relating to health, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators. All senators having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 51 ayes and 13 nays, the bill is passed and title agreed to.
Meeting under messages from the House, the Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation and report of the Conference Committee on Senate File Number 247 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. Senate File 247, a bill for an act relating to insurance. Senate File Number 247 is herewith returned to the Senate. Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. The Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House files number 2341, 2789, 322, 358, and 2580. Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. Moving to the fourth order of business, the first reading of House bills. They are printed on page 3 and 4 of today's Senate agenda. They will be referred as indicated, first reading. Moving to the fifth order of business, reports of committee, Senator Senchum.
Madam President, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving to the seventh order of business, the second reading of House bills. They are printed on page 5 of today's Senate agenda, second reading. Moving to the eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's Senate bill introductions. They will be referred as indicated, first reading. Moving to the ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. There's one author's motions printed on page 5 of today's Senate agenda. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Meeting under motions and resolutions, Senator Roebling.
I move that Senate File 1727, number 1, on the consent calendar be stricken and placed on general orders.
And Senator Roebling, that is your bill.
Drug levels, yes.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senate Resolution number 152 will be referred to rules. Senator Senchum.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate that the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. Madam President, they would be the bills on the sheet on each member's desk, starting with number 54.
Senator Senchum has designated those special orders. We do have a conference committee excuse pursuant to Rule 12.5. Senator Cruz moved that the following members be excused for a conference committee on House File 2244 at 12 noon. Senators Cruz, Bach, Olson, Thompson, and Carlson. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. We will move to number 54 on the general orders calendar. It's House File 469, Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This bill, House File 469, is a bill that clarifies where a petitioner can file a petition for harassment restraining orders and updates a statute provision for waiver of filing fees when certain qualified acts are alleged. Under current law, the state does not clearly state where a petitioner can file for a petition for an HRO relief. This has led to a lot of confusion for petitioners and translating to delays and compromised safety for the petitioner in general. So what this does is it simply says that a petitioner can file a petition for a harassment restraining order in the county of residence, in the county of the perpetrator, or in the county where the incident occurred. It aligns with the orders for protection under domestic abuse, so we'll clarify these things, make it safer for the petitioner and easier for the courts and the county clerks to administer the process. And secondly, it just waives the filing fees when the petitioners meet certain requirements. I urge a green vote. Thank you.
Further discussion on House File 469. Secretary will give House File 469 its third reading.
House File Number 469, a bill for an act relating to public safety, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 469. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining on these special orders, number 86 on the general orders calendar, Senate File 1922, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Senate File 1922 is a bill that relates specifically to providing some methods of review and reporting for some of our agents, our state agencies. I do have an amendment to offer. I need to offer the A8 amendment, please.
Senator Peterson offers the A8 amendment. The secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Peterson moves to amend Senate File 1922 as follows. Page 1, delete sections 1 and 2. This is the A8 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Peterson.
Yes, Madam President, members, what this bill does, this amendment does try to eliminate some of the objections we've heard from state agencies over the hearing process. You'll notice it deletes sections 1 and 2. Section 1
talked about the term, legal term of expressly delegating. We're moving that. Section 2 talked about regarding enforcing certain policies that we're taking out. And then finally, in on the last page of the bill, page 4, right at the end of the bill, we're just inserting, changing some language and inserting, asking the agencies just to update information that was already reported in a report back in from 2003 is what the amendment does.
Discussion to the amendment. Seeing none, Senator Peterson renews his motion the A8 amendment be adopted to Senate File 1922. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. What this bill does now is it requires agencies to provide each year simply a report on their rulemaking docket and list the approved rules to the appropriate standing committees that they relate to. Secondly, it would require agencies to include in the statement of need and reasonableness, which many people know as the SONAR, an assessment of the cumulative effects of the proposed rule, given other adopted state and federal rules that are in effect. And then thirdly, it would just require the Pollution Control Agency, the Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Agriculture, each to update a decade-old report that summarizes their rules right now. The Board of Soil and Water, as well as the EQB, are also asked to produce a similar report of their rules. Members, it's a significant compromise with broad bipartisan support. I want to thank the other authors on the bill, our Senator Bach, Senator Tomasoni, Senator Nenow, and Senator Benson, and would encourage your green vote.
Further discussion on Senate File 1922, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President, members. Madam President, members, there continues to be some concern, however, about this bill, kind of even its original conception, where it's coming from, and where exactly it's going. The concerns are that it's putting the cart before the horse in one instance and fairly duplicative in another. And I'll just note for the record that the state agencies all continue to be opposed to this bill, even in its current amended form. The reason it's duplicative is because already members and Madam President, the Legislative Coordinating Commission can, by request of any two members, pull in a rulemaking for review. Any five members of the legislature can do the same. All agencies are required to send a notice of intent to adopt rules and the SONAR, the Statement of Need and Reasonableness, to the chairs and ranking members of the standing committees with jurisdiction over the subject matter. And if a standing committee with jurisdiction over that particular rulemaking requests that that rulemaking be paused, the rules can't be adopted until the next legislative session. So these are all rules and laws that we put in place to manage and oversee the rulemaking process, which is fine because rules, of course, do have the force and effect of law. It puts the cart before the horse because we're already engaged in really taking a fairly comprehensive and intensive look at rules. This is, of course, the argument that the proponents of the original bill and they continue to make for the need for this bill. But we're already doing a tremendous amount of work, and we probably need to benefit from that work. The University of Minnesota, at the direction of the legislature, is undertaking a fairly comprehensive study of all water-related rules. That report and that study is yet to be forthcoming. The legislative auditor is taking a look at the entire rulemaking process, and that program exam is yet to be forthcoming. So we're a little bit cart before the horse on this matter. Madam President, members, this creates additional work for the agencies, for which we don't provide any funding. This requirement that we provide the cumulative effect analysis and the statement of need and reasonableness, still quite vague. It really doesn't give agencies real guidance on what they need to do. Doesn't make them more efficient, and it again layers on something that probably is already taken into account in that particular analysis. And then finally, with this report that was added at the end, the question is, why are the environmental agencies singled out? What exactly is going on here, and what is the real goal and the purpose? During the entire committee process, the proponents really never provided any evidence of the need. They haven't produced a single business that was affected by Minnesota rules. They never pointed out a particular, this is the reason we have committee hearings. Provide the evidence, provide the statement of the problem, the evidence for the problem, and the solution that solves that problem. And that didn't happen during the committee process. Never a single rule that was specifically problematic that would trigger forcing the agencies to add this additional analysis, to do this kind of intensive reporting that's already going to be done through the work of the legislative auditor and the work of the University of Minnesota. So, Madam President, member, it just feels like we've got another run at trying to undermine the rulemaking process, similar to Senator Senjum's bill, in the name of saving money and creating more efficient processes and accomplishing just the opposite. It feels like we've got another Alec-type bill in here intended to undermine the public good and the regulations that are put in place at the direction of the legislature in many cases to provide for public safety and public welfare.
Further discussion on Senate File 1922. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Madam President. I appreciate Senator Dibble's comments on this bill, and I was wondering if Senator Peterson would yield.
Senator Peterson will yield. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Peterson, what this bill does is it creates additional rulemaking and provides for different procedures that these agencies have to do at some cost that we don't provide them. I'm just wondering what the impetus for this bill was. Were there any certain rules that required that this be done? Or we're looking for problems. We have solutions for problems that don't exist. And so I'm just thinking that this is one of those bills again. So if you could help me identify where the problem exists that you need a bill like this.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator McGuire, and I guess I failed to give you a problem statement related to this bill and why we are looking at this bill. Quite frankly, I think every legislator in this room probably has been directly or indirectly held responsible for rules that have been put in place and promulgated by state agencies. And quite frankly, as elected officials, have had little effect on those rules going into place. Myself, having just been in office for the last 16 months, have had a number of calls and specific examples. One that just came in last week, we have a racetrack that's come out of foreclosure and ran into some difficulty in terms of the inspections surrounding their food service and trying to get this facility open for the race season, related to some of the rules that were put in place. I'm grateful for the question about the cost, particularly relating to cumulative effect. I would ask members to please turn to page number 15 in the fiscal note, which relates specifically, I'll just pick one agency, the Pollution Control Agency. And on number two, it relates to section four. And I'm reading directly. It says the MPCA assumes that 0.01%, members, that's 0.01% of a full-time FTE, full-time equivalent, is of additional staff effort would be required for each rulemaking to conduct the necessary evaluation, that in an average year, the assessment will need to be conducted for this rulemaking request. And so, members, I still would stand to make the argument the amendment I just offered at the start of this bill addresses really all the concerns Senator McGuire and Senator Dibble have raised.
Senator Latz.
Madam President, members, I've had a chance to take a look at the bill on the House file, which I understand is essentially the way it came out of the House is now embodied in the amendment that Senator Peterson added to the bill at the beginning of the discussion. And frankly, it appears to me to be pretty benign in terms of its impact and would, in fact, provide the legislature with some notice and some updating for the public without impeding in any way the agency's authority to that we have delegated to them to engage in rulemaking. So overall, the more controversial parts of the bill that were in it earlier or that have been in the process either in the House or in the Senate earlier that were of some problems to some of the agencies in terms of legislative oversight and stuff like that, it appears to me that they've been removed from the bill, and I'm personally, I think I'm okay with this bill, and I plan to support it and encourage members to do so.
Further discussion? Secretary will give Senate File 1922 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1922, a bill for an act relating to state government, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 1922.
All senators having voted who desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 50 ayes and 12 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Next up is number 75, House File 2731, Senator Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. President. House File 2731 is a Clean Energy Resource Team's appropriation. Members, we had typically been appropriating money to fund the Clean Energy Resource Teams from the Renewable Development Fund. We spent significant time in the Energy Committee led by Senator Rosen refocusing some of the monies and funding out of the Renewable Development Fund. The CERTS program does not fit into the new focus on other issues in the Renewal Development Fund, so we've decided to look for funding out of the Conservation Improvement Program. That program is an assessment on all utilities and various forms of energy, electric and heat energy. We're asking for $500,000 to continue the Clean Energy Search Program from the SIP fund. That fund generates about $3.5 million a year and has a current balance of over $5 million. And members, the CERTS team, the Clean Energy Research team, the CERTS teams are set up to work in six different regions across the state, plus the metro area, so seven including the metro area. They work with utilities to help meet energy goals. They work statewide, but again, on a regional basis. They work on electric and thermal energy efficiency and with renewables. They work with communities to kickstart their resources on local projects. Members, during the last go-around of funding, the projects included 13 renewable energy projects, which displaced 14 million kilowatts of energy, of electric energy, 4,500 therms of thermal energy per year, and 2,500 gallons of heat propane a year. They also included 15 energy efficiency programs, with six projects reporting a total savings of 4.3 billion BTUs. So members, it's a pretty simple ask here, a program that is working and working well, and looking for the funding out of a source of funding that truly does reflect what the program does. So I ask for your support, members. Thank you.
Further discussion on House File 2731, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I join with Senator Magnus in encouraging support for this bill. This is a very small amount of money that returns many times the dollars that we put in, and those are dollars that are returned directly into the pockets of our residents and our businesses. You heard all of the great savings and projects. The CERTS folks tell a great story, but the folks who tell an even better story are the beneficiaries of the technical assistance and all the project guidance that they provide businesses, small businesses in every single one of our communities, residents, neighborhoods, towns, local governments. It's a small amount of money that goes exactly for the purposes for which it was intended, which we set up a couple of years ago when we established the conservation and energy efficiency program that we have on the books now. So I encourage a green vote. It's a great initiative. This is a one-time solution. It keeps CERTS going for one more year, just like we did last year. We kept them going for a year. Now we're renewing them for one more year. So at some point, we're going to have to return and find a more sustainable, ongoing source of funding for this because it delivers so much return for the dollars that we put in. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would rise in support of this bill. I think Senator Magnus has done a very good job, and thank you, Senator Dibble, for your comments. I think this is a very appropriate use of the Conservation Improvement Program dollars, the SIP dollars. The only thing I would challenge Senator Dibble with is that this is a small amount of money. I actually think this is a large amount of money, but it is being used appropriately. We have made sure with the program, with the CERTS program and the people that represent that they come back to us with a program that benefits the entire state. And we set some benchmarks last year when we appropriated them again out of the SIP program. And they met those benchmarks. We appreciate that. I do agree with Senator Dibble. We're going to have to find another long-term sustainable funding source for them, and they're going to have to reach out and get some grants or loans, some grants or some support from the industry out there. But I do believe this is very appropriate. It's been extremely beneficial for our small co-ops and munis out in greater Minnesota, and I believe even Senator Magnus and his small community of Slayton benefited from the CERTS program, and I would like to see this continue on, and I appreciate your support.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Rosen, your advice is taken. Yes, $500,000 anywhere is a lot of money. I agree. So let me just modify my statement. It's $500,000, but it returns many more times those dollars in energy savings and in benefit to our overall energy system, many, many times more for each dollar that we put in. So relative to the savings and relative to the overall dollars that we put into the SIP program, so I was perhaps speaking relatively. But yes, I agree, $500,000 is a lot of money, but it's money very, very well spent because the return, like I said before, goes directly into individual residents' pockets, our small businesses, and our local communities' pockets. And that's a good investment. Thank you.
Further discussion on House File 2731. Seeing none, Secretary will give it House File 2731 its third reading.
House File 2731, a bill for an act relating to energy, third reading.
Further discussion. Seeing none, Secretary will take the roll. All senators voted who desire to vote. There being secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. We'll move on to number 34, Senate File 230, Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I have Senate File 230 before you. This is the bill regarding the Nurse Licensure Compact, or the NLC. It's an instrument which allows Minnesota to voluntarily enter an agreement with currently 24 other states around the country. Essentially, it is a reciprocity agreement for nurse licensure. The NLC is predicated on the fact that all states have basically the same requirements for licensure. All require graduation from a school of nursing approved by the board and passing the same national nurse licensure exam. And this is the basis that we use for licensure by endorsement. If a nurse is licensed in another state, we don't require the nurse to prove that when coming to Minnesota, we endorse the license because the other state board of nursing licensed the nurse using the same requirements. Minnesota is in a... healthcare is a marketplace like everything else. And Minnesota competes in that marketplace. When we have barriers or boundaries that don't necessarily make sense, we inhibit the ability for people to practice a profession, for patients to get the care they need unnecessarily. That's the problem we're facing, and that's what this bill aims to solve. Minnesota serves patients from throughout the Midwest, nationally and globally, of course. And this bill will help us to remain it will help us to continue to provide the high quality care and remain a national leader in the care of our patients. Members, health care reforms are increasingly pushing patients for acute care out of the hospitals and getting them returned back home. A lot of times these patients don't live in Minnesota. So what do? How do we make sure they get the follow-up care they need? How are nurses able to provide that care to their patients from these other states? And that is what we're trying to solve here. This will provide flexibility and mobility in the nursing profession. It'll increase the value of those licenses because they will be valid in more than one state. It's a well-known fact that the State Board of Nursing, the Minnesota Board of Nursing, is strong proponents of this legislation. And you may hear from opponents that this will somehow degrade patient care in the state. Well, the Minnesota Board of Nursing, their mission statement on their website simply says, the mission of the Minnesota Board of Nursing is to protect the public's health and safety by providing reasonable assurance that the people who practice nursing are competent, ethical practitioners with the necessary knowledge and skills appropriate to their title and role. That is the mission of the State Board of Nursing. It's their job to protect patient safety in the state, and they are strong proponents and supporters of the Nurse Licensure Compact. On your desks, you've been handed a list of NLC supporters. It's a long list. I'm not going to read down the entire list, but I have letters outlining why these groups support this. And there's a couple of excerpts I would like to share with you, and just from a few. The Minnesota Long-Term Care Imperative. This is the nursing homes. It says, the long-standing shortage of nurses in our members' nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and home and community-based services is acute and pervasive. The Nurse Licensure Compact has the potential to ease this shortage. The Minnesota Association of Colleges of Nursing supports this bill. Its mission is to represent the state's nurses at the... the Minnesota Association of Colleges of Nursing, representing all 21 baccalaureate and high degree nursing programs in the state of Minnesota. They are supportive of this. The Minnesota LPN Alliance says that we believe that the Board of Nursing has researched the compact with due diligence and is presenting this bill with the intent that this will help protect the public health and safety of Minnesotans. Members, if you represent an area that is in a border area, for example, Senator Langseth, who was a co-author on this bill in Moorhead, or maybe you have hospitals in Duluth, or maybe down in the southeastern area of the state, Rochester, of course, with the Mayo. Those areas are very aware of the necessity to be able to move nurses or healthcare delivery across those borders, and those hospital systems are very supportive of this bill. Licensure requirements for competence are the same. Again, graduation from an approved school of nursing and passing the same national licensure exam. Employers and the public will have access to greater information regarding a nurse's authority to practice under this compact. Boards of nursing who have enacted the compact are able to more quickly and efficiently through shared investigations and similarly taking action to deal with problems. Patients who file a complaint can expect better enforcement. Enactment of this bill reforms nursing regulation for how nursing care is delivered today and into the future. Some questions which may arise are, does this compact affect collective bargaining rights? And it does not. We have statements in the bill that specifically say that it does not. The question may come up, Does this compact mean that this will affect nurses' due process? And the question is answered clearly in the bill. It does not. Language says party states may, according to the state's due process laws, et cetera, following due process. Members, we have taken every step to address issues and concerns that we believe are valid, and this bill is going to move the practice of nursing forward into the future. And one last thing in closing, this is a rather dated book. It's called Nursing Arts. It's from a nursing school, and it says, "Nursing is changing. It is necessary that it should for the society which it serves is dynamic. It would be tragic indeed if any definition of nursing became so crystallized that it prevented change in function or purpose as change is indicated." And this is just part of the introduction of this book, and this book is dated 1953. It was from a nursing student at that time, Marlene Schneider, who was my mother and is a long retired RN. And I found this on our bookshelf and I thought it was telling. And it should always be recognized that we must change with the times. And these licensure requirements, much like driver's licenses, much like teacher's licenses, which are recognized across state lines, and many other types of licenses and compacts we're in, the time has come now to add this so we can improve our healthcare system. So members, I would encourage your yes vote.
Further discussion on Senate File 230. We have Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Gerlach, I would agree with you that we need to make changes in the nurse agreement. The practice has changed. We need to find a way to work across the state borders. This is not, however, the way to do it. This is like the fifth time it's been here, and I see this as a race to the bottom. They all take the same national test, but each state has their individual requirements and rules. Minnesota is one of the top states with the most stringent requirements. And we found during some of these nursing strikes that these nurses who came from other states to fill in during the strikes were not able to manage the requirements of the job here in Minnesota. Clearly, there are different requirements in different states. I think we need to get together and find a way to practice across state lines without damaging our practice. There is I do have here three letters, one from the United Food and Commercial Workers who represent LPNs. I have one from AFSCME and MAPE, and from the Minnesota Nurses Association, all objecting to this bill. I urge you all to vote against it. Thank you.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I stand in support of this bill. As you know, I am a currently licensed registered nurse in Minnesota. And I've told my story a couple of times on the floor, but I think it bears repeating. I live 60 miles from the North Dakota border, and a few years ago, North Dakota had an epic flood. And they had to evacuate, Sanford Health had to evacuate their entire hospital, which many of those patients are critical care patients. I am a critical care nurse. I worked in a cardiac intensive care unit. And because we didn't have this compact in place, at the last minute, I was not able to get a North Dakota license. I had a North Dakota license earlier, but it's not like I can just walk across the border and start to practice. With this nurse compact in place, I could have done that. I could have walked into that hospital and said, "I'm here to help you." I understand that there are nurses that are out fighting for their homes. And I could have walked into an intensive care unit, and I could have helped move those patients to a better environment. And because this wasn't in place, I wasn't able to do that. I also want to tell you, my last job was in Perham, Minnesota, in a primary care hospital, 70 miles from the North Dakota border. And in a primary care hospital in the rural parts of the state, it is difficult to get qualified nurses. I've worked in two primary cares and one tertiary care hospital, and I want to read something that I got from my former director of nurses, who is also in support of this bill. And she says, "As a nurse who practiced in Minnesota and North Dakota, you were able to share the skills you acquired at a tertiary hospital with a rural hospital. I also see this as a progressive action to support current and future nursing models including telehealth models that may develop to support primary care. And as any of us know that live in rural Minnesota, we do have an issue when we have a small hospital and the experts are miles away. When people transfer out of Sanford Health and come home to Minnesota, there is no agreement that those nurses in North Dakota can actually advise our patients. And I'm just using that as a small example. At my age, I want to travel around the country, but I don't necessarily want to go to each individual state and have to acquire a license. That's onerous. We do live in a new millennium where people move around, and they move around fast. Even in the dark ages when I became a nurse, I had to take the NCLEX exam. And so I think this is a reasonable bill. I think this is a common sense bill. This is what we will do in the new millennium. And I will tell you, in my experience working in hospitals, I worked with lots of what we used to call traveling nurses, and they were every bit as qualified in the intensive care units, in the emergency rooms, and on the general med surge floors as the nurses that I worked with here in Minnesota. I urge your support for this bill, members.
Further discussion on Senate File 230, Senator Gerlach.
Thank you. Members, a couple of points I wanted to make, too, that I should have made in my initial comments. One way to think of this as well is we know that in the federal system of the military system, the Veterans Administration hospitals, nurses practice under a separate federal system, and they are able to float from state to state. They have a similar system. They have these agreements in place, and they're able to do that. This would be a similar way to allow that flexibility. And also, members, I was just handed a note also that the American Red Cross, who is not on your list of supporters, they in fact should be added to that list. The American Red Cross supports this legislation, and it's for obvious reasons. When there is a disaster, disasters don't know state boundaries. And getting emergency responders and medical assistance to people without the burdens of licensure issues is paramount when it comes to saving lives. So the American Red Cross supports this legislation as well.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I rise in support of Senate File 230, an initiative that will allow our nurses to move into the 21st century regarding patient care. We have wonderful nurses, but sometimes they're being limited by artificial boundaries, such as state boundaries. Healthcare has changed a lot over the years. In fact, healthcare is no longer confined to an individual institution in many cases. We have many healthcare systems, and these healthcare systems are not limited by state boundaries. We must allow nurses to provide the best care for our patients, for those long-term patients who might not be Minnesota residents, but have come to Minnesota for some of the best health care in the world. And I would like to answer one of Senator Eaton's questions. She mentioned that we must get together, there must be a way that we can get together to practice across state lines. And I submit to you, Senator Eaton and members, that has been done. In fact, it has been done through nursing licensure compacts. As a matter of fact, all of our neighboring states belong to the compact that we are seeking to allow our Minnesota nurses to abide by as well. I stand in support of Senate File 230 and encourage a green vote.
Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've debated this bill for so many times this year. I'm finding it like deja vu-like. And I suspect that probably what I'm going to say is what I have said before as well. When we heard this bill in the Health and Human Services Committee, we heard testimony about people who moved from state to state, even though they had adverse actions against them, had their licenses pulled and whatnot, because of the substandard work that they did. However, when they moved to another state, they went and got another job, and in many cases harmed the patients they were working with in those new states. So I was looking at the language of the bill, and this is, if I remember right, each state who wants to join the compact has to pass identical language. And so that would mean that the states who are already in the compact should be following what it says in this bill, saying that all the licensing boards must promptly report adverse actions against multi-state licensing privileges, investigative information, and so on, denials of application. Clearly, some of them are not doing so. And because of that, they put our residents in danger if we continue to go down this path of joining this compact. Do you want somebody who has lost his license from another state because of the shoddy workmanship, putting their patients in danger, to come to Minnesota and work for your constituents or my constituents? I don't. I'm voting no.
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, yes, as Senator Higgins pointed out, this bill keeps coming back again and again. And I think in addition to Senator Higgins' concern about people who could be sanctioned, lose their license in one state, moving to another, my other concern about this is, Senator Nelson, you said that arbitrary state boundary lines restrict people's ability to practice. Well, first of all, there is the ability, we've already got the ability to negotiate with the states for the reciprocity, which we should be doing. But to say that we should take all the state nurses coming from the other states, regardless of what their standards are, regardless of how well they enforce they review who's been sanctioned in other states and penalize them. If the other states in the compact are willing to take Minnesota's standards, I'd be okay with it. But we're not accepting our standards there. In other words, nurses who have lesser standards in other states can still practice in Minnesota. And I think the lack of, I guess it's candor in the bill might be the way I'd put it, in section 2 of the bill on page 8. It says that a nurse practicing professional or practical nursing in Minnesota under authority of this licensure compact have the same obligations, privileges, and rights. I'll agree this bill gives them the same privileges and rights, but they don't have the same obligations. They only have to pass whatever the standards of some other state are. I think that we should say they got the same privileges and rights, but not the same obligations. If we put Minnesota standards in place, then bring them on. But when we're going to be taking other states and the lack of enforcement, when states have been licensing nurses who have been sanctioned in other states, I think that's inappropriate. I think this is a bad move. Let's move forward in a thoughtful way where we allow ourselves to work with states one at a time, come up with a system that protects Minnesota patients.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will Senator Murphy yield? Marty, I'm sorry. Senator Marty.
Senator Marty will yield.
Senator Marty, I'm wondering if you could kindly tell us what exact standards does Minnesota put upon its nurses that all of our surrounding states that are members of the compact do not?
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, yes, I'm glad to respond. We have different standards every level. Advanced practice nurses in some cases can prescribe things here. Other states have other standards for things. And if we accept a nurse from another state where they haven't been trained to do something we allow our nurses to do, they're coming here untrained for that type of thing. Well, we've had hearings in this in Health Committee this year. We've had hearings in it last year. We had hearings in it 3 years ago. And every time you look at each state has different standards for each type of nurse. And when we accept somebody here who can do what our registered nurses can do, what our advanced practice nurses do, the assumption in Minnesota is they've been trained for it. In other states, they may not have been trained. It depends on what those individual state laws are. So the question is, make sure if we require anybody who comes from Texas or Virginia or North Dakota or any other state has the compact, we make sure the advanced practice nurse meets our standards for advanced practice nurses, fine. But saying that we'll take somebody
from those states, regardless of what their training is, to get them to do the things that we allow people of a certain position to do. That's not safe for our patients. It's not a good idea. And again, it doesn't touch Senator Higgins' point that nurses who've been sanctioned in one state shop around so they can practice in another state, and we're going to let them into our state. I don't think we want that either.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President and members, and thank you, Senator Marty. I did not hear any specifics as to what type of requirements that Minnesota nurses have that our surrounding states that are members of the compact do not.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to remind the members of when we attend our nursing education classes, the one thing that they really strive, especially when we went into the law part of our nursing practice, was that we are responsible to know all the procedures in the hospital that we work in the state that we work in, and we are also responsible to tell our superiors in that facility when we are or not are not qualified to do a particular procedure. If you haven't been trained on a particular procedure in a hospital, or if that hospital doesn't allow you to do something, that is up to the individual nurse. And nurses are professionals, and I have many times in my practice, as many of my colleagues have, many times refused to do a procedure that I had not been trained on, even though it might have been in that hospital's practice. Until I was adequately trained, I did not do the procedure. And every hospital that I worked in encouraged us to please tell us if you don't know how to do something. And so the idea that nurses who are professionals are going to cross lines and do things that they aren't practiced in or haven't been trained on, that is just not true. We are professionals. We care about our patients. This is the new millennium, and we will learn the rules and the laws of the state that we practice in.
Senator Gerlach.
Members, 2 points in rebuttal, one very minor and one very important. The minor one is that this is the second time that this bill has been on the floor here of the Senate this year, not many, many times. We included it in a Health and Human Services bill of Senator Hand's about a week or two ago. And this is the at that time the point was made that we should hear this on the floor as a independent bill. Well, that's what we're doing here today. So this is the second time. And on a very important point, the impression is being made by opponents of this that somehow we are going to open the gates and all of these uneducated, poor, ignorant nurses are going to flood over the borders and do terrible things to the citizenry. That is simply not true. As I said, the Board of Nursing, whose charge is to maintain this patient safety in the state of Minnesota, is a strong supporter of this and believes that this will improve patient safety. And it's very important to note that every nurse practicing in Minnesota, wherever they come from, if they have this reciprocal license, they must abide by all of the state of Minnesota standards. That is very, very important. Standards are not lessened in the state of Minnesota. The Nurse Licensure Compact does not limit a state's ability to establish or change their own rules and policies in governing nurse practice laws. States maintain their authority to hold nurses accountable for meeting all state practice laws for the state in which the patient is located at the time the care is rendered. So please keep that in mind. Minnesota laws apply.
Further discussion on Senate File 230. Senator Sharon.
Would Senator Eaton yield for a question?
Senator Eaton will yield. Senator Sharon.
Yeah, Senator Eaton, would you describe to me something that you'd mentioned earlier about how, because in the context of this debate, we're talking about the movement of nurses back and forth across geographic boundaries. We've all acknowledged, of course, that there are real changes in how the healthcare delivery system is going to be operating in the future, and we do need to create a reasonable solution to this that I believe takes into account and concern not only the Sanfords and the Mayo systems and others at the borders, but also the nurses that are trying to make certain that they continue to have control over the quality of their profession. And I do believe that at some time, and I'm hoping you'll describe more fully, that there has been movement on the Nurses Association to open up the reciprocity agreement between the surrounding states, that they're very open to the reciprocity, agreeing that they would be able to practice across boundaries through a reciprocity agreement, and that can be achieved easily through the Board of Nursing within about a 24-hour period. And I wonder if you would speak to that, because I think that this group of senators might be thinking that there hasn't been any effort or there's not any solution at all to achieve over or cross-boundary work on the part of nurses.
Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Sharon, I'd be happy to address that. In 2002, as part of the agreement to eliminate mandatory overtime, the Minnesota Nurses Association agreed to a reciprocity agreement with our bordering states. So this has been an option since then. The problem is none of those states have welcomed or agreed to that. Our Board of Nursing has not arranged those agreements or compacts, and I can only guess that we're being held to join the compact if we want to do that. So we really can work in the bordering states now if the Board of Nursing would make that arrangement.
Further discussion on Senate File 230. Secretary will give Senate File 230 its third reading.
Senate File 230, a bill for an act relating to health occupations, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 230. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 38 ayes and 29 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Moving on to number 22 on the general orders calendar, House File 2614, Senator Lilly.
Madam President, members, House File 2614 deals with compensation for judges and age limit repeals. Minnesota's Workers' Comp Advisory Council identified this statutory requirement mandate for administrative law judges and compensation judges as a provision that could subject the state to federal age discrimination lawsuits. Unlike state court judges who are elected, ALJs and compensation judges are appointed. This bill is intended to help the state avoid the age discrimination litigation. Members, I ask for your support.
Further discussion on House File 2614. Secretary will give House File 2614 its third reading.
House File 2614, a bill for an act relating to state government, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 2614. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Moving to number 94 on the general orders calendar, Senate File 2326, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Senate File 2326 relates to barbers licensing regulations and some of the changes associated with that industry. This bill is largely an agency bill with several housekeeping measures and some additional items. There was no opposition to this bill as it came through the committee process that included jobs as well as rules and finance. So I'd encourage a green vote on this bill.
Further discussion on Senate File 2326. Senator Higgins.
Madam President, will Senator Peterson yield for a question?
Senator Peterson will yield. Senator Higgins.
Senator Peterson, it's nice that there was no opposition, but could you actually tell us what the bill does?
Senator Peterson.
Sure. The changes relate mostly around, I would say, just changes in some fees. For example, there is a fee that changed that would relate specifically to a reinspection. If somebody from the Board of Barbers goes out and does an inspection on a facility and they fail, historically there's been no way for the Board of Examination to recoup the cost of sending an examiner from St. Paul out to Bemidji, so to speak, to re-inspect a barbershop that failed for being unclean or unsanitary or in some type of violation that's in place for the licensing board. So there's several measures like that that relate to enforcement and training.
Further discussion on Senate File 2326. Secretary will give Senate File 2326 its third reading.
Senate File 2326, a bill for an act relating to barbers, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 2326. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. The secretary will close the roll. There being 51 ayes and 14 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Moving to number 72 on the general orders calendar, House File 2335, Senator Thompson.
Madam President, thank you. I'd like to talk a little bit about this particular bill that started out to be a bit controversial between some of its proponents and the Commerce Department, and I'm happy to say that we ended up with a deal that everybody is pleased with. The Department of Commerce regulates debt collectors and as well as or individual debt collectors as well as debt collection agencies. And what was happening is that debt collection agencies had various protocols in place to determine the qualifications of individual debt collectors that they would hire. And the Commerce Department had not been clear about what those background checks and various other parts of the protocol needed to be comprised of. And so debt collection agencies and debt collectors found themselves being sort of more or less judged after the fact about the adequacy of the process that they employed in evaluating the hiring and retention of debt collectors. So what happened is we put together a bill that tried to clarify and set a specific set of guidelines that had to be adhered to in order to hire debt collectors. The Department of Commerce had some problems with the standards that were set, so the various parties in interest got together, came up with a bill that everybody can live with, and in short, it requires a national criminal history record search and a county criminal record search, requires annual criminal history record checks for all individual debt collectors, requires use of an accredited vendor to conduct background checks, adds misdemeanor and gross misdemeanor convictions involving any financial crimes to the list of disqualifications from debt collector registration, and clarifies that it is an applicant's responsibility to disclose if they have a civil judgment against them for failure to account to a client or customer for money or property collected by them. So the bottom line is we now have a uniform set of standards that debt collectors can apply when determining whether an individual is qualified to be a debt collector in this state. I have not personally spoken with legal aid. My understanding from talking to the interested parties is that they have no objection to this, and members, I am unaware of anyone who objects to this bill, so I would respectfully request a yes vote.
Further discussion on House File 2335. Senator Latz.
Madam President, members, I have personally spoken with legal aid, and they do support this bill.
Further discussion on House File 2335. Secretary will give House File 2335 its third reading.
House File Number 2335, a bill for an act relating to debt collectors, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 2335. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Number 61 on the general orders calendar, House File 2861, Senator Saxog.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, House File 2861 is a bill that expands the authority for a city or a town to donate funds to public and private hospitals. It will allow them to make donations to medical service agencies like first responder units, ambulance services, and paramedic units. It is needed so that rural townships and communities have the authority to help finance the volunteer groups that provide the life-saving services. There's been no opposition to this bill. It is supported by the Minnesota Association of Townships and the Minnesota Ambulance Association. I appreciate member support. Would stand for questions.
Further discussion on House File 2861. Secretary will give House File 2861 its third reading.
House File Number 2861, a bill for an act relating to local government, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 2861.
All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, we'll take up the Senate consent calendar. There are several on, there are two on the consent calendar dated today. Number one, Senator Roebling's bill has been moved to general order, so we will begin with number two, House File 2149. Senator Latz.
Madam President, members, House File 2149 is a bill that would add to the list of qualified domestic violence-related offenses, convictions for female genital mutilation. This came up in the context of a prosecution by the Hopkins City prosecutor that found there had been a prior conviction of this nature for a person that was being charged with a domestic assault. And they were surprised to learn that they could not use this type of a prior conviction to enhance the new charge to a gross misdemeanor. So that missing item in the list of qualified domestic violence-related convictions or offenses was identified as important to remedy. So the Hopkins City Attorney brought it to my attention, and we introduced this bill. So I would ask for your support to accomplish that. Thank you.
Secretary will give House File 2149 its third reading.
House File Number 2149, a bill for an act relating to public safety, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Number three on the Senate consent calendar, House File 2276, Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. House File 2276 was amended by the other body so that the language was identical to the Senate Bill 1811. This bill conforms with federal law for Medicare and Medicaid programs requiring the certification. Medica, Health Partners, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, United Health, they require their facilities to have this accreditation. This is nothing new. The The purpose of the legislation was essentially to get in front of a problem that's been experienced in some other states where non-accredited imaging providers run around and not literally but figuratively load up the back of a truck and run around doing this diagnostic imaging and provide an inferior quality of imaging and ultimately end up causing higher healthcare costs because the imaging needs to be redone because they can't use the inferior imaging. This passed the other body 122-0. There has been no opposition. That's why we have it here on the consent calendar today.
Secretary will give House File 2276 its third reading.
House File Number 2276, a bill for an act relating to health, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 2276. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Senjum. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, at this point we'll recess to the call of the chair. We're anticipating that, a couple of things. First of all, that We're waiting for some bills to come over from the House. We'd like to give them first reading. That would require, obviously, a smaller audience. Wouldn't require all of us. The Senate Republicans are going to go into caucus. At this point, we may have a second list, but I can't tell you for sure. But let me just say this. As soon as we know, and I would expect that would be within the hour or so, we'll let the minority caucus know so that they have some idea what the landscape is here going forward. So at this point, Madam President, I would move we recessed until the call of the chair with the proviso that we'll certainly keep the minority caucus appraised as to what our status is.
Senator St. Jim has moved a recess to the call of the chair. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. We are in recess.
I'm not sure it's on.
Senate will come to order. Senator St. Jim.
Madam President, is there a privilege report at the desk?
Yes, there is. The Secretary will report.
Senator St. Jim from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends that the following senators be and they hereby are appointed as a conference committee on Senate File 2324, Peterson, Miller, and Tomasoni. Senate File Number 1717, Senators Miller, Michelle, and Tomasoni. Senator St. Jim moves that the foregoing appointments be approved.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Into the third order of business, messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file. Herewith returned Senate File 2464, Bill for an Act Relating to Public Safety, Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. The Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which the amendments to the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 1573, a bill for an act relating to higher education. Senate File 1573 is herewith returned to the Senate. Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator St. Jim.
Madam President, on behalf of Senator Fischbach, I move that the Senate do not concur with the amendments by the House to Senate File 1573, and that a conference committee of 5 members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of 3 members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House following Senate File. Senate File Number 2334, Bill for an Act Relating to Lobbying. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Pepin, Beard, and Nelson. Senate File 2334 is herewith returned to the Senate. Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. The Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House files number 2958, 1607, 2447, and 2786. Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. Moving to the fourth order of business is first reading of House bills. They are on page 2 of today's Senate agenda addendum. They will be referred as indicated. First reading. Moving to announcements of Senate interest, we do have several excuses we need to make for today. Without objection, the following members will be excused. Senator Latz from 11 to 12, Senator Nelson from 125 to 130, and Senator Koch from 110 to 120. Without objection, they are excused. Further announcements of Senate interest. Senator St. Jim.
Madam President, I do now move that the Senate adjourn until tomorrow, Friday, April 20th at 10 a.m.
Senator St. Jim moves we adjourn until Friday, April 20th at 10 a.m. All in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. We are adjourned.